Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, this is Jessica, and I am here with
Margaret Aldrich from Little Free Library.
And we are going to turn the page. I wanted to welcome Margaret. She is a very special guest, and we are soon going to be very, very relevant to one another because as of the time that this episode airs on May 11th, we would have had the ribbon cutting for Syosset Library's very first Little Free Library at the newly renovated Syosset Long Island Railroad train station. Margaret, would you like to talk a little bit about how you became involved in Little Free Library?
Sure. So my background is in book publishing. I worked in publishing for about 10 years and then became a journalist and magazine editor. And I wrote a lot about grassroots community projects that were really innovative. And when I came across my first Little Free Library, I just fell head over heels. So I eventually wrote a book about the Little Free Library movement. And, you know, in that process of interviewing the founder, Todd Bowl, and getting to know the organization, I fell in love with them too. And so about a year after the book came out, I started working for the Little Free Library nonprofit organization.
That's really great. So when did you stumble upon your first Little Free Library? Do you remember about when it was?
You know, I live in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis was one of the two testing grounds for Little Free Libraries when they were first conceived. So, and Minneapolis is a very, you know, we care about books here, we care about literacy, and we care about community. And so it was kind of a perfect little spot.
Trifecta, as they say.
Exactly. So it was a great spot for Little Free Libraries to be tested out. And it's also kind of a walking community. You know, people do a lot of walking. People walk their dogs a lot. People walk their kids a lot. And I was probably out doing one of those things when I saw my first Little Free Library. And if you're a book lover, you immediately connect with this concept. And when I put up my own Little Free Library in front of my house, you know, I'd heard that, oh, you'll meet more neighbors than you've ever met before. And I thought, okay, we'll see. We'll see if that's true. And when I put up our Little Free Library, literally within 5 minutes, I had neighbors crossing the street to come check it out. I talked to people I'd never talked to before. And it really did spark just this little bit of neighborhood magic.
That's really nice. So Little Free Library is having a very special anniversary soon. When did the conception of Little Free Library begin?
Yeah, so the first Little Free Library was built in 2009, so 10 years ago, by a man named Todd Bowl. And he built it in Hudson, Wisconsin, put it in his front yard, and he really did this as kind of a memorial to his mom. So she had passed away and she was a former educator. She loved to read. So he was thinking about, you know, what can I do to kind of give back to the community and, keep her memory alive. So he built a Little Free Library that looked like a one-room schoolhouse. It, you know, was painted red. It had a little bell on top. And when he put it out in his yard, his neighbors came over. They asked what it was. They brought books to share. They stayed and had conversations. And he was like, there's something here that I want to share with the rest of the world.
That's really amazing. I know your book has different Little Free Libraries. Little Free Libraries have become an art form. Just there's so many there. They come in all shapes and sizes. Are they nationwide? Are they worldwide now?
They are worldwide. So Little Free Libraries, they're in all 50 states here in the U.S., and they're now in 91 different countries.
That's incredible. It really is. And when you really think about, 10 years, that initiative grew really quickly. I remember the first time I saw, started hearing about Little Free Libraries was around 2009, because I remember where I was living at the time when I started reading about them. And obviously social media played a role for me hearing about them. Did you find that social media really brought attention to what they were?
Absolutely. I think that partially Little Free Libraries spread through word of mouth. When someone would visit Minneapolis or Madison, Wisconsin, they would take the concept home with them. But I think social media was really the key thing, because Little Free Libraries are so visually interesting and fun and creative that people share their photos. And that's how, for example, I know a woman named Malaz in Sudan, that's how she learned about Little Free Libraries. And she's now started a mini Little Free Library movement in her community in Sudan.
That's amazing. I have to say, so I live here on Long Island, and I saw them for a while on social media. I thought they were adorable, and I was walking my kids through their babysitter's neighborhood, because my babysitter, it was like an hour before she could watch them, and it was my late day at work. So I'm like, I'm just going to take a walk, because this is, a good time to do this. And my kids are still at an age that they won't complain if I put them in a stroller and walk with them. And I'm walking up and down the streets of, my town. And there's this house with a Little Free Library, and I'd read about them, but to see one in action was like stumbling upon a treasure. And I, like you said, fell in love. There was just something about it that was so personal, so positive, that really I just wanted to be involved with this. And, I thought, how are we going to do this? How can I possibly get involved? And then I'm like, I'm a librarian. So that was my experience.
I think a lot of people feel that too. I've seen kids who describe it like they're opening a present when they open the door. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you're going to find inside, because part of the beauty is that the books are always changing. So every time you go back to a Little Free Library, you're going to see something new. And I think there's something about that serendipity that people like, of what book are they going to find. And I think that a lot of us kind of miss that act of browsing, just flipping through the books, because, now kind of Netflix tells us what we're going to like to watch, and Amazon tells us what we might like to read. And so I think that just going up to this very basic wooden box, opening the door, and just getting to discover what books are inside is really, really joyful.
It's almost like taking a breath. It's and everybody now, everything is so fast paced. I know, at least in this country, and we're all is always on the go. We're always, everything just moves very quickly. But there's something about opening the door to a shelf of books that you didn't know was there. That's almost like, it's relaxing, it's therapeutic. And so as a librarian, of course, I thought that they were adorable when I'd read about them. But seeing one, I'm like, how can I possibly get involved in this movement? And I decided I was going to propose to our administration that we should, we have a lot of books that, things go, as you said, move very quickly. A lot of times we'll get a bunch of bestsellers that are not bestsellers for a while. And, we put them down in storage, and we get advanced reader's copies. And once the book has been out for a while, we're wondering, okay, we can either give them away or, what do you do? So I think I proposed, let's try to get a Little Free Library connected with our library because, you know, we live in a community where people do very much use us. But you never know, you know, the people out there who aren't or maybe don't have time. It's good to have a presence. Yeah, we really want, you know, we wanted to be on the consciousness of our community, even if they're not coming in, you know, and know that, you know, we're reaching out to them.
I think that's, first of all, I'm excited that your library is going to have a Little Free Library. That is fantastic. And, you know, we work with lots of public libraries, especially in the U.S., who use Little Free Libraries, just as you're saying, for community outreach. And I think that's so innovative. You know, we love public libraries and we love to kind of see all the innovations that you guys are involved with. And so this is one more way to reach out to the community. And often, you know, if there's a family who the public library just isn't in their routine, you know, that's just not something yep. they've historically done, a Little Free Library can kind of build a bridge between the little library and the real public library.
Absolutely.
We're excited about that. You know, there's a public library system in Florida where they have put Little Free Libraries at the beach. And in the Little Free Library, they'll have information about the public library to kind of say, hey, did you find a book here that you liked? Come see even more at the public library.
And that's what we're planning on doing, especially now that this podcast episode is going to air. You know, we have been podcasting for, it'll be a little under a year once the library launches. And we will put a bookmark in our books, which talks about the podcast. But going forward, we have a lot of other things that we do that, you know, the community might want to know about. I mean, we send our newsletter out and our newsletter is really nice. But sometimes you just, you know, it's a little reminder. If it comes, you know, in a book and it's browsable, it could bring attention or bring attention to, again, people who, you know, the library isn't in their routine, but maybe it'll have them go back and sift through the newsletter again to be like, you know what, my library is really out there and I should take the time to see what they are offering for me and my family. And the fact that it's going to be at the train station, it's heavily used. And we were very lucky. We have, it took me a while to figure out where we were going to put it because we were trying a few different things out, but we really wanted the train station.
That's perfect.
For obvious reasons, but our train station was going to be under construction because it had been, you know, a while since it was renovated. It desperately needed some updates. So we got in touch with an assemblyman, Michael Montesano, who, you know, I am involved with Library Advocacy Day, where people go up in buses to Albany to talk about, you know, library funding in Albany, New York. Just to the legislators and, you know, just be like, you know, this is what we're doing, you know. Obviously, having our budget cut, like anyone else having their budget cut, would not be good because it would inhibit what we can do. But he was part of, you know, he represents part of our district. And he was always very positive, very library positive. And we saw that he was connected to this project. So my director said, would you be comfortable contacting him? And I said, why not? Because, you know, you might as well just contact. And he was very open to it. You know, I think he was very open to, you know, being like helping us work with something very positive. So he got us connected with the liaison between the government, the local government and Long Island Railroad, a woman named Ryan Attard Riley. And she's been wonderful. So along with Wi-Fi and USB chargers and other cute little modernizations and making the station walkable, it's going to have the Little Free Library, and the library is going to have a presence there, which is, I mean, if you're coming in and out of Syosset, you're a commuter, you're going to be going through our station.
That's awesome. Love that. I used to live in New Jersey, and so I know what it's like to be at that, you know, at the train station, waiting for your train to come. That's just perfect. And I love the fact that, you know, like we've talked about, a little free library is such an analog thing, but then they're also talking about Wi-Fi and all that. So I love the mix of the analog and the technological side too.
Had you heard that some people, they'll do geocaching with their little free library? They'll attach like a geocaching chip, which is like almost like a digital treasure hunt in itself, and it'll draw people to their little free libraries?
Yes, that is one of the really fun things that our little free library stewards have set up. And it is like another kind of treasure hunt. And it brings a new kind of audience to their little free library when there's a geocache. We've also, when Pokemon Go was starting to go crazy.
Yes, yes.
Some little libraries became Pokemon Go stops, and that was really fun too. Some stewards didn't know exactly what was happening. Like, why are there more people at my little free library? So it's really fun to see kind of the creativity of what little free library stewards do with our libraries. Some in the springtime will set up seed exchanges for their garden seeds, which I think is a great idea too. So it's really interesting to see how a little free library can start to reflect the needs and the interests of that neighborhood.
Do you think now the founder of Little Free Library, he recently passed away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lost Todd in October, very suddenly to pancreatic cancer. And, you know, he was always an optimist about the power of one person to make a difference.
Obviously. I mean, look at, he's in 91 countries. That's what a legacy.
And he was so proud of every person who set up a little free library. He thought they were a hero in their community. So, you know, we really hold that spirit closely to us and really keep that going, that vision of community and greater book access. And we're just thrilled that we can celebrate the 10-year anniversary this year.
So before we go into the 10-year anniversary and events and the day, would you like to talk a little bit about the Little Free Library book that you wrote?
Sure. Yeah. So the Little Free Library book came out from Coffee House Press. It has both practical information about if you want to start a Little Free Library, here are ways to get your community involved, here are kind of best practices, here are some interesting ideas. But my favorite part is that I got to speak with Little Free Library stewards all around the world about their own experience with their Little Free Library. So, for example, I talked to a man in South Korea who started the first Little Free Library there. And he came upon the concept in the funniest way, I thought. He was bored. He was on the internet and he Googled the word library. And somehow in that internet rabbit hole that we all go down, he found the Little Free Library website and, you know, had never heard of this, thought it was such a lovely idea. So he started the first Little Free Library in South Korea, and now he's started several more. And I loved a story about a boy named Spencer Collins here in the U.S., who his Little Free Library that he built for his mom as a Mother's Day gift, it was banned by the city.
Really?
Yes. And so somehow it became this viral story that went national, and the city council was getting, it was in Kansas, and the city council started getting phone calls, emails, letters, like, let Spencer have his little free library. And he got, you know, the author of the Lemony Snicket books contacted.
Oh, Daniel Handler. Exactly. Are we allowed to say, I mean, I know he bills himself as Lemony Snicket when he writes the books, but Lemony Snicket is technically an unseen character in the books, if you've read the books.
Yeah.
They're interesting. So Daniel Handler, yes.
Yes, Daniel Handler wrote him a letter and of encouragement to, you know, keep up the good fight for books for all. So it was really fun to talk to Spencer and his family about what that was like to become kind of a viral sensation. And after all of that attention, the city council said, maybe we were wrong on this one, you know, so they let Spencer have his little free library back.
That's nice. And it's funny when you think about, you said viral sensation, Little Free Libraries became a viral sensation. So of course, you know, it's good to see viral sensations being positive, because you hear a lot about things being negative. It's nice when they go positive, and that's a double positive for Little Free Libraries existing and spreading, and somebody getting to make one for their mother. The one that I found, I subsequently discovered that it was a 75th birthday gift from a daughter and son-in-law to their the father-in-law father. And he is a huge reader, because of course I decided, I'm like, well, now I'm going to walk my kids in front of that Little Free Library again and see if I can find out who the steward is. And he was sitting outside one day, and we just had this really nice conversation about it. So that was nice. So would you, so the 10-year anniversary of Little Free Library is going on. Now, is this all year? Is this, a 1-day event?
We are celebrating all year long. We have a lot of fun events and awards and giveaways. We'll be doing monthly book giveaways throughout the year. And the culmination of our 10th anniversary celebration is May 17th, which is the actual birthday of Little Free Library. And the weekend of May 17th, we're inviting everybody. That's you, all your listeners, all of our friends and fans around the world, to participate in something called the Big Share. So the Big Share is that weekend of May 17th, we're asking people to go out and share a book in a Little Free Library. We want you to take a photo, you know, snap a selfie, have your husband take it, have your kid take it, take one of your dog at the Little Free Library if you want to do. And we want you to share that on social media with the hashtag LFL10. And we'll be choosing
LFL10.
LFL10. And we're going to be picking random winners for some special prizes. And what we really want to do with that is, in addition to sharing books, we really want to feel that connection with people all across the country and all around the world who are doing great things in their communities, spreading kindness, making the world just a little bit better, friendlier place to be.
I love it. I really do. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out, because I found out before, when we were doing our little preamble, that you are a former Borders employee as well. Yes.
Right. That's right. That was my first job when I moved to Minneapolis, was as a bookseller at Borders.
Was Borders, I'm trying to remember, was that, did they start in Minneapolis? I'm trying, where the headquarters were, I can't remember.
I miss Borders so much.
Oh, me too. I have, go ahead, sorry.
Rest in peace, Borders. You're a good bookstore.
I have, I like to call it Phantom Borders Syndrome, where, I mean, Borders, I think our Borders closed, was it I can't remember if it was 2013, 2011, but regardless, I still, to this day, and I'm a librarian, and I love libraries, but I love bookstores too, and it was a big part of me becoming as much of a book lover as I was working there. And I guess, you know, opened the door to me deciding I wanted to be a librarian. I'll be like, oh, I have, you know, time on my lunch break. I should pop over to Borders. And then I'm like, Borders has been gone for like almost the better part of a decade. Why, Jessica, why do you keep doing this to yourself?
I really credit it too for really helping me out when I moved into the world of publishing, because you got to see both sides of what happens when a book is made, you know, from the idea all the way to when someone picks it up off a bookshelf and buys it. So, yeah, Borders, we love you.
It's funny, you know, because obviously, a lot of times, like, people will come to me and be like, well, you know, are you like, you know, bookstores and libraries, are you guys like, you know, on opposite sides of the fence? And I think I don't think so. I think we aim to be part of Now, I mean, obviously, bookstores, you know, they're in it for the profits too. But, you know, hopefully the people who are running the bookstores, you know, and I know, like, when I was in Borders, like, there were book lovers there.
Absolutely. You know, and we've gotten that question too. Do Little Free Libraries compete with bookstores or public libraries? And I talked to the librarian, Nancy Pearl, when I was working on the book.
Nancy Pearl has a, do you know that she has an action figure?
Yes, that has like shushing action.
It does.
You know?
It does. It's funny. Yeah, she is, I guess, what would be known as a celebrity librarian.
Celebrity librarian, right. But, you know, she said that anything that is getting people excited about reading and about books, you know, it's all just enriching that culture of reading. So whether it's a Little Free Library or a bookstore or a public library, you know, I think they're all really good things for all of us.
So says the queen of the library world. I don't think there's really no monarch of the library world, but she's definitely well known.
She is well known for sure. And she said that she lives out in Seattle, and she would go on this daily walk, like a miles long walk every day. And she would kind of plan it out so she could just pop by Little Free Libraries all around the city. I thought that was really neat.
It's nice because when we started this, and I should say also the Little Free Library is going to be designed by our teen volunteer club here.
So, oh, that's awesome.
So we really, I mean, getting the community involved, like, you know, that's, to me, I would have loved to, you know, you're taking the train into the city and you see something that's yours, or, you know, your parents commute and they're just like, oh, this is something that my child was involved with. So it really brings it back to the community. It's made by the community, facilitated by us, supported by local legislators and, you know, just really like there, like, so everybody's pretty much had a hand in it in some way.
That's amazing. And I think that really helps make it successful when the community feels like this really belongs to all of us. That's key.
I wanted to, unfortunately she's not working today. I wanted to have Sharon Long, our teen services librarian, pop in on this, but she's been so good. She's such a good, she's just such a good motivator for the teens, and, you know, they're always looking for community service, and this is just sort of something that I think is going to stick with everybody for years. So she came up with a really cool idea. I know we've seen a few Little Free Libraries that look like their bookshelves themselves, like, you know, there's images of book spines all around them.
Yes.
So she had the teens paint wood strips to do that, but then, you know, not everybody is as artistic as everyone else, which is fine, but we have a Cricut machine here, and she's like, oh, you know what, maybe we can make stencils with it, and of course, you know, lo and behold, we were able to do that, so it's just gonna look really cool. I'm really excited.
I can't see it. We'll have to see photos when it's done, for sure.
I will send you photos. Thank you so much, Margaret. And if there's anything you'd like to tell people about Little Free Library or any takeaways before we end, what would you like to let people know?
Well, I'd like people to know first that Little Free Libraries are for you. You know, don't be afraid to use one, to share a book, to take a book, or to start your own if you're inspired to do that. And also remember the big share on the weekend of May 17th. It's going to be really fun, and we can't wait to see your photos of sharing books in Little Free Libraries.
Thank you very, very much, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.